Part one of Lachan Shein Shichlo Gufa. Okay, to review what we did in Shavuos. Okay. So we know, looking at the Rambam in Parak Aleph and Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam reviews the various categories that exist by Malacha, or lack thereof. Right? There's, let's say, Davar Sheina Miskavin. What's Davar Sheina Miskavin as an example? What? Right, dragging the bench. You drag the bench across the field, right? And we say, in that case, you're putter, right? Again, you know, it's when you, your intention is not to dig a hole. Your intention is to drag the hole, the chair across the field, and it produces furrows as a result, or as our Sean put it, tilling the soil. That was quite impressive. What do you call it? You are putter, right? So that's one category that Malacha Shein Shichlo Gufa butts against, okay? Or our butts, depending on your terminology. But anyway, that's going to be an issue. Another one is Mekalkel. That's probably the hardest one, Mekalkel, right? Because Mekalkel is an action that's destructive, right? For instance, tearing down a building. That's Mekalkel, right? And that also is going to be an issue insofar as how Malacha Shein Shichlo Gufa works. It also challenges some of the positions when it comes to Malacha Shein Shichlo Gufa, okay? And the very term itself, Malacha Shein Shichlo Gufa, as you saw at the end, is up for a huge debate, right? So the way I approached this was first to take Rashi's way of learning and then use Rashi's lens to take up some of the... I think Rashi's fairly intuitive, but to use Rashi's lens insofar as how to understand the various Gemaras, that was the first half of what we did. And then the second half, which we rushed through a little bit, was the different Rishonim, which I promise you, Darius, when we go through them, you'll be satisfied. Okay? Okay, we just got to go through them a little slower. That was the problem. Okay. All right, so let's start with the Gemara and Chagiga, the Mishnah and Gemara and Chagiga. So the Mishnah is Chagiga Yudam Aleph. The Mishnah famously tells us that it says that Hilchos Shabbos are like what? If you recall? Right, mountain hung by thread. Okay. All right, and the Gemara doesn't understand this idea. The Gemara says, what do you mean? What does it mean to say, how do we know that that Hilchos Shabbos are to be treated in such a manner? All right, what does that mean to say by Hilchos Shabbos? Okay. So the Gemara says, you need this, right? Because... Well, we know, but that's not true, because we know the Torah tells us multiple times, right, it is forbidden to do labor on Shabbos. It's not like the Gemara doesn't tell us that's the case. The Torah does say, right, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael Shabbos, right, in Parshas Vayakhel, all over the place you have instances where the Torah reminds us, Parshas Emor, it reminds us over and over again that you are not allowed to do malach on Shabbos. So it's not like there's no source for it in the Torah. So what does it mean to say? Okay, so the Gemara says, right, but it's amazing how the Gemara uses the example here to demonstrate this idea. I mean, obviously, it's not talking about, it's true, there's various times the Torah does tell us there's a prohibition in Malacha, right? But insofar as the complexity of the halachic system of Malacha, and particularly the very definition of Malacha itself, there is no indication whatsoever in the Torah of what the quality of Malacha is supposed to be. So the Gemara says, which case, right? So, lo tzricha ela l'dika Rebbe Abba. Okay, so this really has to do with Rebbe Abba. Why Rebbe Abba? Dama Rebbe Abba, right? Ha-chofer guma v'shabes vein sarach ela l'afra pater alea. Okay? So that's the classic case the Gemara uses for Malacha Shein Tzricha L'gufa. Well, I got ahead of myself. But anyway, what did you do? You dug a hole. And dig the hole, you dug the hole for the purpose of the afar, right? So the Gemara says, okay, so come on. Now, who does Rebbe Abba line up like? Okay, so the easy way to go is Rebbe Shimon. Damar malacha shein tzricha l'gufa patar leah. Right, so it's tempting to think that Rebbe Abba lines up like Rebbe Shimon. Because Rebbe Shimon holds malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, you're patar, right? Okay. What I told you guys as a piece of advice is the better case to use, I think, from a conceptual standpoint, right, to start off the sugya is the case of catching a snake. It's much easier to start with that case. So in the case of capturing a snake, what do? You capture the snake, and you're doing it because, better pay attention, darn it, because remember, miss this stuff. When you capture the snake, you're capturing the snake because of what's called siluk nezek. Siluk nezek means lesalek hanezek, right? Because you want to remove the potential harm, right? So normally, a guy would capture the snake because he wants to add it to a snake collection, right? That would be considered malacha shetzrich legufa. If he captures a snake because he wants to remove it, he wants to remove the threat, that's considered malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. Okay, now take that and plug that into the case of digging the hole. You dig the hole for the purpose of the hole. That's malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. If you do it for the purpose of the dirt, it's malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. And Rashi tells us something very interesting. Rashi says, "Chofer guma." Right? He says, "Bone binyan." Who? Okay, he built a building. Meaning, there's no question when this guy dug the hole, even though he did it for the purpose of the dirt, he built something. He did the act of building, right? Meaning he did bona, and he produced a resultant binyan. There's no way around that, right? If you're going to start going down this road of, well, he didn't really do the malacha. No, that's not true. He did the malacha. He built. He dug a hole, right? So action and creative result, okay? So you can't fall into that trap. You're stuck. Action and creative result. Everyone wants to divide up a malacha into two. Action and creative result. Well, guess what? He did here an action that resulted in a hole being dug. Yes. Okay, so Rashi says, nonetheless, v'imeinot tzarech lo, el lito also afar, okay? Afa pisha binyan banoi, enu chai mishin bona. So Rashi is emphatic, right? Rashi says, even though he built a building, there's no question about it, since he only wants the dirt, okay, even though the building's been built, even though that's clear, right, we say, Eino chai mishum bona. He hasn't done the act of bona. He's pater, okay? Sorry. Eino chai mishum bona. He's done the act of bona. He's not chayiv. Very good, Darius. Correct. Okay. What shein atzricha legufa? Says, kigon zeh. Shein otzarech lebinyan zeh. He doesn't need the binyan, right? Rav Shimon Amar Milsei Gabi Moti Samesa Mita, which we saw, which we're going to get to soon, okay, that he uses as a comparison to the case of taking out the mace, which we'll get, we don't have to define that yet, right? Remember, that comes up later, okay? So the question Rashi's pushing us in a certain direction. He's trying to get us to accept the reality that this person did a malacha. He did the malacha of Bona, no question about it, and somehow he's not chayiv, okay? Then the Gemara says, but he could that Rabbi Abba can line up like Rabbi Yehuda. How so? Right? Because we know that Rabbi Yehuda says, Mlacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, you're chayiv aleha. But then how could Rabbi Abba hold your pater? Oh, I'll tell you why. Because Afilu Tamil Rabbi Yehuda, right, you'll say, Hasa Misakin, right? But Hacha Mekalkehu. So you'll say, as a corner of Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda holds Mlacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, you're chayiv on as long as there's a tikkun. Okay? But here, you can't say it's a tikkun. Why? Because it's Mekalkehu. Okay, which you can't understand until we get into the mekalkel issues. But on the surface, what would you say? Say here that what has he done? The act of digging a hole is what? Is one of destruction, right? So then what is it? So would that mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there can never be a case where a guy is chayav and digging a hole?
No.
When would he be chayav?
It could be a case. He just went as the first step in a...
Okay. But at this point, it's going to be difficult because... It would seem like Darius at this point that Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that there's no case like that. So we push that to the side. We're going to get to that later on. Okay. So for now we have to take one simple step, right? And again, I think this worked out very nicely on Shavuos, right? You have to take one basic working idea of what Malacha Shetzricha Legufa or Ein Tzricha Legufa is in the purest form of the Machlokas. You don't know anything about Mekalkel. You don't know anything about Davar Sheni Miskaven or any of those things, right? What is the issue, right? So what do we say? So that's the Chiddush Rav Shimon. So Rav Yehuda is going to say, as long as I have a Maisa Malacha, right, with a creative result, that's the ingredients of Malacha. That's what a Malacha is. Rav Shimon adds this other dimension. And what's Rav Shimon saying? Rav Shimon's saying that when I do the act of Malacha, right, so yeah, I did the creative action and I produced the creative result. But in dissecting creative result, what we look for is I must produce an object of utility, okay? That's why the snake case is such a great case. Because by the snake case, I mean, Siluk Nezek is really the paradigm. Because by Siluk Nezek, what you would say is, that's like almost like anti-utility. Meaning, Siluk Nezek means I don't want the object. So there's no greater denial of utility of an object to do an action with a creative result than the creative result itself. There's never an expression of utility. The guy says, I don't want the result. So what's he doing? He's denying the very expression of utility in the object. That undermines the very identity of Malacha. So according to Rabbi Shimon, right, that's why Rabbi Shimon says, it's not that it's not a Malacha, it is a Malacha, right? I mean, because he did a creative action, and there was a creative result. The only thing is, he never allowed for utility to be expressed in the object. So the prevention of the expression of utility, that is Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, and therefore he's Pater. So now, if we go back to, if we take that concept by the snake, okay, so even though I've changed the status of the snake has gone from free to captured, so I have definitely produced a change in the state of the object, but since I have not allowed utility to be expressed in the object, so that's why it's Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. So now, let's apply that now back to digging the hole. So when a guy digs a hole, so there he's actually created an entity. He's created an actual hole, right? No question about it. He's created something, right? But since he's not going to make use of it, so there it's different than Nezek, because Nezek, he's never allowing utility to ever be expressed. Here, the potential for utility could be expressed. He's choosing not to make use of that utility. Exactly. Right? So that's what he's I'll get to that at some point. That's what he's doing by the Chofer Guma case, okay? So that's why I think the Siluk Nezek case is the paradigm. And then you can learn out a chiddush in the case of Chofer Guma, because by Chofer Guma, there it's not that there's Nezek there. It's not that he's not allowing utility to be expressed at all, right? Or doing an action where the result is anti-utility. Here there could be utility, but since he's choosing not to make use of it, that's why he's pater. Okay? Okay. So that's our working paradigm. Now obviously Rav Yehuda is going to say, as long as you do a maisa malacha, right? So then that's why I'm chayav. Ah. But why does Rav Yehuda agree by in a miskaven that a guy would be pater? And, right, so what's the difference there, though? Yeah. Why not say, listen, isn't the result a tilled soil? Right, so that's the key. Right, the mice is the catalyst for everything. There has to be an action here where I can say that was a creative action. And by the case of Adam Miskavian, what's the problem?
There was no creative action that created
a mice has to be carried with a machshava to be considered.
Right. So right, exactly. Words, we have to first assess, did the guy do a creative action to begin with? If there's no creative action to speak of, then we can't even assess whether there was a gufa malach or not. Okay.
He did that specific action, but not in creative.
Exactly right. So everyone agrees that's the starting point, right? That's why mekalkel also, the issue about mekalkel is going to be, is it even a malacha, right? Okay. Good. Okay. So the Mishnah on Sadi Gimel Amabez in Shabbos tells us what? It tells us if a guy goes ahead and is eshames bamita chayev. So what does he do? He takes out a corpse, right, from inside his house, which is just a yachid, to outside his house, which is just a rabbim. He'd be chayev, according to the Mishnah. Now, before even going on, in other words, what's the base? Is that a malacha shesrich legufa? On the surface, what would you say about that case? Okay, because Rav Shimon's poter. Now, why is Rav Shimon poter? So Rashi says, afilu mei shalim, dehavi malacha shein esricha legufa, v'chol malacha shein esricha legufa, ela lesalka me'alav, right, me'alav. So what's he doing? He's removing, again, it's like siluk nezek. He doesn't want the mace inside his house, right? So at corner of Shimon, the case of taking out a mace would seem to always fit into malacha shein esricha legufa. Okay? He says, okay, now listen to this. I don't know if we read this last time. Dir bitsono lo baalo, v'lo hayatzarechla. Another funny lashon that Rashi has. Dir bitsono lo baalo. What does that mean? Dir bitsono lo baalo.
He didn't want the dead body in the first place.
Okay. V'lo hayatzarechla. That sounds like two separate points in Rashi, right? Dir bitsono lo baalo. Right. It wasn't through his will that this came upon him, and as well, right? He doesn't need it, right? Hilchach lab melechas machshavas the Rav Shimon. Interesting. So that sounds like Rav Shimon that what's the problem here? It's not melechas machshavas, which sounds like, is he saying in this instance it's melacha shenis rich legufa? Well, he's saying it's melacha shenis rich legufa, but does melacha shenis rich legufa mean it's not a melacha at all? Or is he saying it is a melacha with like a defect? Here it sounds like he's saying it's not a melacha at all. Right? He's saying, ain't a melechas machshavas. It's not lab melechas machshavas. Okay. Absolutely. Chayev. How can you not?
Why doesn't Rashi also...
The Gemara is Sadi Dal Namabeis. The Gemara says... Sadi Dal Namabeis on the bottom. Right? Esemes mita b'chayev. Amar Rabba Barachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Shimon, Melakish, Poter Hayer Rav Shimon. So Rav Shimon would pater, would say, you're not chayev in the case where you take a mace from inside your house to outside your house, right? Af, b'motius and mace l'kobra. We didn't even answer that, by the way. But anyway, even for a case, right, where he's taking it out to bury it. Why does the Gemara have to say, even for a case where he's taking it out to bury it, that he holds your pater? Well, because it would sound like that's not siluk nezek. It would sound like that's actually something beneficial. Right? It sounds very gufa-ish. Right? Right. He's saying even that's pater. Right? Right. So Rashi even says, dafil hu tzorech hames, pater. There's a tzorech here. I mean, it sounds like it's good for the body to be buried, right? Right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. So Gemara says, Amar Rava, Umode Rav Shimon, right? Mar Lachbar Bo, Sefer Torah Likras Bo, Dechayev. And Rav Shimon would agree, though, he would agree that if I took a Sefer Torah outside, let's use our case, a book. Guy takes a book outside to read it. He would agree if I take a book outside to read it, no question that I am Chayev. Whereas there's one in Pshita, because if you didn't hold that was the case, then Rav Shimon would never have a case by Hotzah that you'd be Chayev in. Right? He has to have some case by Hotzah that you're Chayev in. Right? That's just the Ihan Nami Malacha Shein Tzrik Legufa Hu, and Malacha Tzrik Legufa, L'Rev Shimon Hechi Mishkachasla. When would there ever be a case of Hotzah that you'd be Chayev in the corner of Shimon? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Ma'u, the same Adi'ika Legufa U'Legufa. Okay? Because you would think you require two things. You require Legufo and Legufa. Okay, Kagon, like for instance, you took a Sefer Torah, Lahagia Likrosbo. Okay, so what's that? So what's Gufo and what Gufa there? I'm taking the Sefer Torah outside because what do I want to do? Right, amend and read it. So therefore, I'm benefiting, so to speak, right? Because I want the Sefer Torah outside to proofread it. And the Sefer Torah is benefiting because by proofreading the Sefer Torah, what am I going to do? Improve it.
Right.
So now I have a Gufo and a Gufa. So where it says you would think that you require both, right? Kamash Malan, no. Meaning it's unclear whether, I don't want to take this issue up, but it's unclear whether it's only one, which one of the two, or just Malacha Shrein Gufa. But the point though is that you only need one of the two. Okay, so the Gemara says at this point, you would have thought I need both. Kamash Malan, one of the two is sufficient, okay? But why does Hotzah present itself as such a fascinating case? Why is Hotzah so difficult, so tricky when it comes to the area of Malacha? Okay, there's two problems that Hotzah has. There's the overall problem, which is how is Hotzah a Malacha? Because you would think, what do you always have to do by a Malacha? Create something new. Okay, so I have two problems here. There's no creative result. My action does not produce any creative result. I didn't create a new object. Right? In every case, I write, I create a letter, I dig a hole, I build a building. Here, what have I done? I've moved it from A to B, right? So, but at least I could point to the snake was free, and then putting the trap over it does what to it?
Changes its state.
Add a new adjective.
Correct. I could say it's now a caught snake, right? But what am I going to say by Hotzah? It's there?
Yeah. Outside.
Right, it's not, right, what does that mean? But that's crazy though, because because how could that be? That doesn't fit into the normal category of creative. I mean, come on.
How is trapping then?
Because I can at least say the snake, right? I did a clear action, like I put this over that, right? No, that's not an action.
No, the snake is trapped. Now it has a different category.
Especially because you see by Hotzah, but you see even by Hotzah, right? We don't assume that Hotzah is a problem inside my house. I took my fork from my... What?
You have an
Erev. No, you don't have an Erev. It's Rosh Yachid.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, but that's my whole point. The whole point is that the very idea of different Rishuyos itself, right, is an odd idea. And remember, the problem of Hotzah is, what am I going to do if I take the object outside, then use it for a Malacha, right? So you see, its very nature is to be very weird when it comes to Malacha. So there's no creative result, and there's no new object to point to. I can't say, that wasn't there before, now it's there,
yeah.
Right? Right, so that's what you do with the object. So, you're right, you're expanding its possibilities. So let's take the ball, okay? When the ball is inside my house, it's not like I can't use the basketball, right? I can use the basketball. So you can't say I'm creating usage of basketball. And I'm not creating a basketball as well. The basketball was always there. Rather, when I take it outside, what am I thinking to myself? Now I can play basketball outside, right? So now I'm creating new opportunities of use of utility in the object. Again, it's not that I've created an object and now I'm ascribing utility to it. The object always existed. It's just that now there's new avenues, new vistas of opportunity, of utility, right, that exist in the object now.
It's the opposite of
the... So, okay. So now, one second. Let's carry that through. So if the guy went ahead... Well, let's answer Gufa Gufa. So you would think, since this is a Malacha Garua, since it's lacking both, no creative result and no object to point to, so you would think there's a higher standard required for this thing to be considered a Malacha. Right? And that's what Rav Shimon might say. That's what the Gemara said, Havamina. Because you might think that Rav Shimon would have a higher standard, right? Not just Rav Shimon, Rav Yehuda too, by the way. But anyway, a higher standard should exist for this thing to be considered Malacha. Kamash Malan, that's not the case. Now if the guy takes the mace outside, right? So that's Siluk Nezek, right? How so? So he doesn't want the mace inside his house. So definitely when he takes it outside, he's not presenting new opportunities of usage in the mace, right? Because all along, what did he want to do? He just didn't want it here. It's not that he wants it there. If he wanted it there, then he's creating new opportunities of utility. His doesn't want it here. So by not wanting it here, there's never a moment where he's ever actually creating new opportunities of utility. Okay? But what about the Kovro? What about the Kovro? What about that, though? Doesn't that sound like he's creating a new opportunity of utility? Right? How do you get out of that? Right? Right, so now comes the hardest case. Now we switched over into, now we pushed into Mekalkel now, okay? We took a case of Hotzah, which is a Malacha Garua, and show how Malacha Shenet Shukul Gufa could work there. We're going to get back to Kovra soon, okay? Now we have the case of the Pechom, I love this case. So the Mishnah says, HaMechabes Aner, V'neishu Mis Yara, Mipnei Nachrim, they list him, they Ruach Ra, they Chola, Shishan Pata. Okay, so what does a person do? A person blows out a candle. Now why does he blow out the candle? Correct. Out of fear. The Persians. They're going to kill him. All right. Well, again, in other words, not that, not that they're going to, it's not Sakana Safashos, but it'll stir up, create an uncomfortable situation. But then the Mishnah says something funny. The Mishnah says, if he blows out the candle, right, Kichas al Haner, okay, what's Chas al Haner? Prevent the oil lamp from overheating, right? So he wants to save the lamp. Or kichas al hashemen, he wants to save the oil. So when he blows the candle out, he's doing it through three possibilities. The first one is he wants to save the lamp, he wants to save oil, or kichas al pesila, okay? Or he wants to save the wick. In all those cases, the Mishnah says, Yochayev, right? Which would sound like, that's definitely Rav Yehuda, okay? Okay. Rav Yossi poter b'kulan. Okay, Rav Yossi says, no, I'm pater by ner. I'm pater by shemen. Chutz min apsila. That's the one case I'm chayavin. All right? Mideishu osa pecham. Okay, so again, this is the tricky part. When I blow out the wick, right, I now have a charcoal, which means a wick that now, when I relight, will be superior. Okay? Okay, so again, I blow out the candle to produce a pecham. Okay? Is that clear? All right, so what does Gemara say? Gemara says, Kechas al aner. Okay. So the Gemara wants to know, no, come on, all right, one second. So guys, so look, so we have the cases is that we have Chas al aner, Chas al shemen, thank you, and Chas al psila. Right? So in the first two cases, we'll say Chayev, okay, that's going to be Rabbi Yehuda's way of learning. Well, possibly, all right. And then we have Rav Shimon. Then we have Rav Yossi come along. Okay, Rav Yossi says, Pater, Chai. Right. So that's the key. Right, and that's the Gemara learning Rav Yossi like Rav Yehuda. Okay, so again, Chas Lener, Chas Hashemen, Chas Lepsilo. Rav Yehuda's going to hold Chayev. Okay, Rav Yossi's going to say. Pater in the first two, Chayev in the last one, right? Okay. And the Gemara explains, and that's that very important Rashi, because Rashi says, let's go to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rav Yossi, k'man svirlei, ik Rabbi Yehuda svirlei, afilu bahanach nami l'chayev, im Rabbi Shimon svirlei, hapsilu nami lifter. So how does Rav Yossi fit into Rabbi Yehuda? Why would he say, in the first two cases, you're pater? Okay. So the Gemara says, amar ulo l'olam k'Rabbi Yehuda svirlei. Okay? And k'savar Rav Yossi, hasoser amanas livnos bimkomo, Havi Soser. Okay? Amanas Libno Shalomim Komo Lo Havi Soser. That's the key. So if it's that basically Rav Yossi holds, it's only when I'm Soser Amanas Libnos Bimkomo that I ever say that I'm Chayev. Okay? Now, of course, on the surface, how do we possibly create a parallel between Soser Amanas Libnos Bimkomo and the case of Chas Lepsila? Okay? How are those equivalent? Okay? But in order to do that, we have to understand what Soser Amanas Libnos Bimkomo is to begin with. Now Rashi, it's a little bit long Rashi, but he helps us out a lot. Rashi says, first he says, "Afilu bipsila nami lifter." It says, "Dechas ala psila nami ein tzricha malacha legufa." The malacha hayinu kiboy, right? So Rav Shimon would say, even if the guy blows out the candle for the purpose of the pecham, right? That's ein tzricha legufa because the malacha is kiboy, the kiboy atzmo ein tzarach lo, and he doesn't need it for blowing it out. Right, because why would you blow out a candle? No, no. What's the classic Lagufa case? Getting rid of light, right? Okay, it's the this thing is no longer illuminating my room. That's Kibbutz. Okay?
I mean, that's like taking